chapter 1. And throughout the lesson, I'll be talking a little bit about it, just sharing what the Lord's been doing this week. James chapter 1, we'll look at starting verse 12. Do want to give God the glory as you're turning. I'll let them share when they feel led, but we did have two youth get saved last week during youth camp. Praise God for that. And whenever they feel led, they'll share. And I just kind of want to look at the message. I had the opportunity to teach during the week at camp to the boys. And I shared this, and I just feel led to share it again to the church and kind of look at the title here tonight is Don't Be Misled. And you're going to see that in the text. James says that in verse 16, and we'll get there. I just want to read this scripture. But do you know that there are many Christians, and I'm not talking about people outside in the world, I'm talking about many Christians that are misled. And I want to share that and what James said they're misled on. They're misled on the topic of temptation. And Brother BJ talked this morning about a test and temptation, and I think it just hit home really well to share this tonight, because as we're going to see tonight, there's a difference between a test and a temptation. And so I want you, if you would stand and let's reverence the reading of the Word of God, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18, and we'll just ask God to bless it and take care of it. But don't be misled. It says this, James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now here's where the title comes from, verse 16. "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begot us, he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word and try to grab a hold of what you've given, Lord. I just pray you'd help me share what you've shared with me and be obedient in what you've called me to do. I thank you that you've brought this church back together tonight. Thank you for the boldness, Lord God, that these kids had to share. I pray you'd bless them extra good for being bold in what you've called them to do, not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a privilege we have to study about you, and I pray you'd bless it. I pray you'd cover it under the blood of Jesus. And everything we say and do here, honor and glorify you. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. And I thank you for Jesus. Pray you'd bless this congregation, you bless this night in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to look at don't be misled. And I told you that many people are misled in this. Many people have trouble figuring out the difference between a test and a temptation. And I'm sad to say, and I believe this, so many people think God's out to get them. So many people think God is out to get them. And I say that because James says, do not err. Or in other words, another translation says, don't be misled. And I just feel like, as the Bible teaches here, many believers think God brings temptation. The Bible tells me he does not. And we're going to read that here in just a second. I do want to make something clear. Brother BJ read in Genesis about Abraham this morning in chapter 22. And in that thing, it's chapter 22, verse 1, it uses the word tempt. But that word in the Hebrew is to test. And I want to make sure we understand there's a difference. And we're going to try to realize that tonight in what the Bible has to say about it. So look right there in verse 13. The Bible answers the question. Does God tempt me? Look what verse 13 says. Pretty simple, pretty self-explanatory in verse 13. Says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. So here's your answer. Does God tempt me to do wrong? No. We'll keep going. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God does not tempt anyone because temptation involves someone doing wrong. Here's your difference. A test is to grow you in your walk with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why Abraham was tested, to see if he would do what God wanted them to do. And we go to a temptation. What James is talking about tonight is this. A temptation is leading you to do wrong, leading you to do evil, leading you to do sin. And so he go ahead and explains it here in verse 13. God does not tempt. God will test, but he will not tempt. And that's what he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. And I'm thankful that right after that, James gives us the answer to why God can't tempt us. And he says in that same verse, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. You want to know why God can't tempt us to do wrong? Because he's holy and he's righteous. And there is no sin in him. There is no sin in his Son. There is no sin in the Holy Spirit. There is no sin when it comes to God. And he can't tempt you to do that. I'll give you a great verse of Scripture. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God uses a test, but he does not use a temptation. And that kind of gets us into the message tonight. Why temptation? Who brings temptation, and where does it come from? And I've put this together, and the Lord just led me to do it this way. I got to share this at camp to about 60 different boys, and I asked them, and I'm going to ask you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I know what's going to happen here. But I asked those 50, 60 some odd young men, raise your hand if you like math. Out of 60 kids, I had two raise their hand. Two. They said, yeah, I like math. They may have been lying. I don't know. But anyway, had two of them raise their hand and say, I like math. And the other 50 or some odd said, no, I don't. And I feel like that's the same number here. I'm not a big fan of math. I know there's some that are whiz at it. But tonight I want to look at the play on words here, the equation of temptation. In other words, where does it come from? Who does it come from? How do I overcome it? And so I gave us three little equations, if you will. It really made sense to me. I think it'll make sense to you. And we look at equation number one comes in verse number 14. Here it is. Man's lust plus Satan's enticement equals temptation. It's in verse 14, if you'll look with me. The Bible says here, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You say, J.D., how do I get tempted? It takes two parts. It takes you, and it takes the devil to be tempted. The devil is out to get you. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I want to make sure we understand that. The devil wants that. The Bible tells us he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And so how does temptation work? I feel like so many people have it wrong. Because the Bible teaches right here the right way. It's man's lust plus Satan's enticement equals temptation. And I'll just say it like this. This week, his name was Charles Cook. He was the preacher this week at camp. And he shared all the way through the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. He shared about how he was thrown into the pit, how he was sold into slavery, how he was tested, and how he was tempted, and how he got through all these things. And at the end of his life, he was on top. Not because of anything he'd done, but because God saw him through. And through that test and through those temptations, we're going to see here that through what James has to say is the temptation is always from within. That's why we get here, man's lust. Anything that you do to sin, anything that I do to sin, always starts on the inside. Let me give you a little example here. The Bible tells us in verse number 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Listen to how he words this. Of his own lust. Let's just stop right there and look at that. You will never sin and you will never have that problem unless you allow it to come. Let me say that again. Satan can only do so much to tempt you and things like that. But it always involves man as well. The Bible tells me here that it takes two parts. The devil has his job, but there is a lust from the old man on the inside of a person that always lets him do what he does. And I want to look at this verse, and it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I want to give you a verse that maybe helps. Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, the Bible says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Listen to this, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. The Bible teaches me here that we have a problem without the Lord. I have a problem and you have a problem without Jesus. It's the old nature. It's that festering up. And what the Bible's telling me here, there is nothing good in me and you apart from the Lord. All these things that are inside that don't have anything to do with God that come from the old nature, that's what stirs the sin up. And the devil uses that stuff. I just kind of wrote a few things down here. Before somebody murders, they plot to kill. What is that? That's inside. Before somebody uses fornication, they have those inner thoughts of evil, and that's what the scripture we just read says. Before you steal something, you always think about it first. I love what Adrian Rogers said. He said, sin is an inside job. It's an inside job. And the Bible teaches us here that equation of temptation comes from man's lust, and then it has Satan's enticement. Let me just stop right there for just a second. Satan is out to get you. I say that to the church. I say that to the people that are faithful. I know the devil's out to get everybody. But how much more is he out to get that believer, out to get somebody that loves the Lord, that's doing their best to follow what the Bible has to say, doing their best to love their neighbor, doing their best to do what God has to say. The Bible says here in this verse in James 1:14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That word enticed, if you look it up, it means to allure or it means to bait you. That's what the devil's wanting to do. He's wanting to bait you. He's wanting to bait me. He's wanting to bait us to do wrong. Little example here. I know I'm not the biggest fisherman in the room, but I've done a little bit in my life, and I know that you got the bass fishermen, you've got the crappie fishermen. I know there's a bunch of different. You got the deep sea fishermen. That's not many people from Lamar County do that, but anyway, you get what I'm saying. I do a lot of catfishing when I do it, and you got your bobber and you got your Zebco, whatever. But in bass fishing, I know they use something called a spinner bait. And if I ever fished, that's what I would use, a little spinner bait. What it is, you've got your little, you tie it to the end of your fishing line, you throw it in the water, and what it has on it has something that spins, it has something that kind of attracts that fish. It has a hook on it, obviously, but it also has something that's called a skirt on it. And that skirt covers up the hook, so that fish doesn't see the hook. And that skirt goes over the top. And what happens is that fish sees that thing spinning, it sees the lights, and it's attracted, and it grabs a hold of that thing because it doesn't see danger. And before you know it, it's too late. And I believe that's what the devil's trying to do in each and every one of our lives. I believe that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bait us. I believe he's trying to cover up those things. They're bad, they're sinful, but he puts something over the top to make it look good, to make it look shiny. And that's what he says here. He's drawn away of his own lust, and he's enticed. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And this is not something that's new. This happened the first sin in human history with Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that Eve was tricked. That Eve was deceived. The Bible tells us in Genesis 3:13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Listen to this. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. That beguiled means he baited me, he deceived me. And that's what he's trying to do to each and every person in this room. And that's how temptation comes through the book of James. It says, number one, man's lust, Satan's enticement equals temptation. We'll go to equation number two. Temptation plus action equals sin. Temptation by itself is not a sin. You know why? The Bible tells us in the book of James that every man is tempted. What happens is what you do with it and what I do with it. Let's read the Bible. Verse number 15. Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Temptation on its own, every man faces it. We see it. But you don't have to act. And that's what I want to make sure we understand tonight, that it comes to every man's door and every woman's door. But it's my job and it's your job to determine what happens to it. And sometimes we fall, but the Bible tells me that we can overcome temptation. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, there is no temptation taken to you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. I want everybody to say that. God is faithful. Please don't forget that. He's so faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The Bible tells me that Jesus was tempted. In Matthew chapter 4, he was tempted in the wilderness. But you know how he overcame that temptation? The Word of God. Three times he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. I love that because that's a life application for us. We can defeat through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. That's the only know-how. That's the only answer the Bible gives us. There's no other answer. No other way. Man, this book is filled with wisdom and it's filled with instruction and it's filled with commands. But there's only one way to get out, and that's through Jesus. And this whole thing, this whole book, this whole anointed Word of God points you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in this text, do not err, or do not be deceived, or do not be misled. Every person's tempted. The problem is, what do? Do you act on it, or do you not? A little example in the Bible here is a great man by the name of David. You know why he fell? It's not because he was tempted, it was because he acted. The Bible tells us he stayed behind when they went to fight. He was in the wrong place. He went out and he saw that young woman. And what happened after that was not because he was tempted, it was because he acted. And that action led to murder, that action led to adultery, all those actions led to destruction because he acted. The Bible tells us we need to make sure we be sober and be vigilant. Man's lust plus Satan's enticement equals temptation. Temptation plus action equals sin. We'll go to the last point here. Sin equals death. There's no other way. It is 100% clear what happens to sin. In verse number 15, the Bible says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I believe so many people they're misled on what sin is. Some people think sin's fun, and it is for a season. Some people think sin leads to happiness. Some people think sin leads to money. Some people think sin leads to joy. But friend, there's only one answer for sin, and it always leads to death. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, for the wages of sin is death. Sin leaves a path of destruction and leads us to death. The Bible's very clear that death is always the result of that sin. I've heard many people say, sin's not that bad, or my sin's not that bad, or I'm not hurting anybody. You ever heard somebody say that? Oh, I'm not hurting nobody else. Friend, if you believe that, you believe the lie straight from hell. Because it hurts you. It hurts the people around you. It hurts your relationship with God. It hurts everything it's involved in. That's what sin does. Because sin equals death. And that's why it's so important not to be misled. God is not the one that tempts. God is the one that helps. And I want to leave us with this tonight. Is there any hope for temptation? Is there any hope? Friend, I've told you tonight that all these things that lead, I've told you that God doesn't tempt. I've told you that temptation always leads down the wrong road if you allow it. But I want to make sure I encourage us tonight to know that there's hope in Jesus. There's always hope in the blood of Jesus. And that's what the Bible teaches here. Sin is the problem, but Jesus is the answer. He's the answer that fixes everything. He's the answer that takes care of every problem we have. I told you this week that man, that pastor, Brother Cook, he was sharing all week about Joseph. And we've seen through the whole story of Joseph. Joseph was done wrong. He was done dirty. He was sold by his brothers. He was left for dead. All those things at the end of the book, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Bring it to pass to save much people alive. And that's what I want to encourage us with tonight. We have trials. We go through temptation. But the Bible teaches we can get through it. That's what every Christian is promised. Every born-again believer is promised, is that we can overcome through the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's problems. There's temptation. Sometimes temptation, if you allow it, leads to sin. But praise God, there's forgiveness through Jesus. Always forgiveness through Jesus. I'm so worried that many people think they can't be forgiven. That they've done so bad, that they've done so wrong, that they hurt too many people. The Bible tells me, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will. Bible tells me that Christ came to save sinners. And I believe I'm with the Apostle Paul here, of whom I am the chief. And I'm so thankful that there is hope in Jesus through these temptations and through the sin, but there is hope. So friend, let me leave you with this. And we'll pray. We'll circle up and ask God to bless. Let me leave you with something. Don't be misled. Don't be misled. Remember that God's not the one that tempts you. God's not the one that's out to get you. That's what the devil's job is. God's job is to love you, to help you, to forgive you, and meet your need. And if there's any problem you have tonight, and I'm speaking to the whole congregation, I don't know everything in your life, and you don't know everything in my life. But we both know the answer, and that's the Lord. Go to Him, pray to Him, move, and ask God to take care of your situation. And I wrote a couple questions down here. Are you battling temptation? Do you keep on losing Well, friend, Jesus is the only fix. He's the only way. Man, there's so many people that go through life and they just can't seem to get a break. They keep sinning, they keep falling in that temptation. You say, why do they do that, Brother J.D.? Because they've let sin win. They need to get a hold of Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We can't overcome through the blood of Jesus. God's not the problem. He is the answer. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this night. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you so much that you love us and that you sent Jesus to die that we might be saved. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to learn and to grow and to be together and to love one another, Lord. I pray you'd watch over this congregation. Pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd help us not to be misled. Help us not to listen to what the world has to say. But help us to listen to what you have to say. Father, I pray you'd lead us this week. You'd guide us and you'd take care of us. And help us to remember you're the hope we have. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Brother BJ.